In the story of St. Gertrude the Great, we have a beautiful example of conversion from not a life of terrible sin, but of an experience of piety, which seemed to be rather tepid and empty, that is suddenly transformed by a pure experience of grace, and through a simple action, which as we'll see, involves the very essence and nature of finding God within community. But first let me say something about these texts that you have before you. I've included selections from Gertrude's principal work, The Herald of Divine Love, and four different sections. The beginnings of her contemplative experience, part of the description of her biography, and then from her revelations, her description of her experience on the Feast of Christmas and on the Feast of Epiphany, and also a selection that includes the selections from her experience on the Feast of the Trinity. We will come back to the Christmas and Epiphany sections of this page at a later time. We're going to concern ourselves right now only with the first selection, which I've entitled The Beginnings of Her Contemplative Experience. I should add that the illuminations down the page are from the community at Eichstätt, which St. Walburga's, which was powerfully influenced in the Middle Ages by the writings of St. Gertrude. So these are not by her confessors, by her sisters, but they are by nuns who read her and the writings of the other Gertrude and the Mechtilds, all of whom were part of an important movement of spiritual revival in the Middle Ages. These illuminations depict women's communities appropriating themes from St. Gertrude and using them in very powerful ways. In particular, the theme of Christ's heart, Christ's sacred heart, as a place of meeting between the soul and God, even a place where a kind of Eucharistic banquet is celebrated. But we can come back to these images a little bit, not in this lecture, but in a later lecture. The reason I've included them here is that they are reminders of how this literature influenced a later tradition. This particular selection describes St. Gertrude's conversion. It is indeed a pure action of grace. She mentions before this text begins that she'd been in the monastery for a fair number of years. She joined the monastery as a child, and now she was a young woman. And she was perplexed a bit by the fact that her prayers seemed so tepid and her life seemed to be so ordinary and not full of a real awareness of God's presence. And then one day, as she was in the dormitory, as it says, she did the simplest thing in the world. She simply bowed to one of the seniors, which is an ordinary gesture of reverence that you give to the other, indicating not only obedience, but also the sign that Christ is in the other. You offer the other reverence because they bear the image of God. And in that moment, that simple act of obedience became for her an occasion of vision. She opened her eyes, looked up, and it was not her sister that she saw before her, but instead Christ, appearing as handsome young man. And she says, and remember what we saw in Aelred, the beauty of his form was all that I could have desired. She acknowledges the fact that she finds this appearance itself very attractive, and Christ then says to her courteously and with gentleness, and the words that he uses, soon will come your salvation. Why are you so sad? He is speaking to her in the words of one of the responsories, that is to say, her experience of Christ uses the words she's heard in the liturgy and which we still have in the very beautiful hymn, the Rorate Caeli. These are texts taken from those verses. Soon will come your salvation. Why are you so sad? Be consoled, be consoled. So it's very characteristic of St. Gertrude that for her, the experience of Christ is also in the form of words of the liturgy. And then she, in this vision, has a sense of the union towards which she's called. And Christ is saying to her, in effect, we will deepen in relationship with one another. And where is this going to happen? What is going to be the place, as it were, of deepening union with her Lord? her place in choir. It seemed to me that I was in the choir, in the corner where I usually said my tepid prayers. Gertrude is a beautiful example of one for whom there is no distinction, as Father Cyprian Vagagini has reminded us in Theological Dimensions of the Liturgy. There is no distinction between private piety, between individual contemplative experience on the one hand, and liturgical experience of God on the other. For St. Gertrude, the liturgy is the place where she generally finds God, and so her revelations include liturgical references. They let you know the feast on which this text or that chant, this antiphon, sparked this kind of interior sense of Christ's nearness and this visual sense or auditory sense of Christ speaking to me and inviting me into deeper union. Well, this one has to do with the beginnings of her contemplative experience. Christ, as you'll see in this paragraph, then offers his hand, as it were, to plight a troth. That is to say, to offer himself in engagement. It's like the beginnings of a kind of mystical marriage. And then she sees between the two of them a hedge, a thorny hedge that she can't possibly reach over, and nevertheless, Christ reaches over it, lifts her, and places her beside him. So in these very few images, Gertrude is expressing a beautiful theology of conversion and of salvation. It is the gift of God. Christ invites us into a nuptial relationship, a sense of drawing into union that is most clearly seen in this life, in the union between between husband and wife, and that says something about or gives us a hint of the kind of celestial relationship to which we're called with Christ. And Christ's sacrifice, that is to say, his reaching over the thorny hedge, is solely for the purpose of allowing us to be beside him, to be with him. And she then goes on to describe how from that moment she's experienced how delightful the sweet yoke of Christ is, how it is the remedy best suited to her infirmity. And now, and she uses the language of the Song of Songs in the very last paragraph of this little selection, I began to follow the sweet odor of your perfumes, a text taken from the Song of Songs. This beautiful story comes from a time in Christian tradition where women theologians very often did extremely sophisticated systematic and spiritual theology using the language of vision. And now that isn't to say that the visions weren't real. Of course they were real. They were the experience of these individuals. But they lived in communities which encouraged and reinforced a powerful sense of the vision, of the image, of the word spoken by God present. And so, since going to university was not an option for these women at that time, the way in which they did this exquisitely developed theology was very often in the language, and one might be tempted to say through the metaphor of, but again, it was a real experience, but one has to look beyond our modern perplexity with vision to realize that this is an important theological language. Gertrude is proclaiming through her experience, her subjective experience of vision, that God is present for us in liturgical prayer. The language of the prayers which we pray with the church are the language of Christ himself, and they provide the invitation for our deepening in an experience of union with God, who reaches, as it were, over the thorny hedge to invite us into this relationship that is like a marital relationship. So Gertrude is a beautiful example of ongoing conversion through prayer and the liturgy, through a specific form of spiritual practice that consists in a daily attentiveness to the words that one is given in the context of liturgical prayer, and through that and with that, a profoundly contemplative sense of God's gift as well. So there is a union between liturgical prayer, contemplative prayer, between the community praying in common together and the individual having a very vivid experience of Christ on their own, which is united in a way that we need to rediscover. We need to find again this holding together of those things in unity that Gertrude did, because one of the other things one needs to know about her is that she was the second chantress. That is, she was responsible for the music in the community. Very often, the choir mistress was very often ill, and so she was responsible for leading the very complicated and involved Gregorian melodies that were part of the prayer of monastic communities at this time. And intriguingly, she almost never missed a beat. She would be having these tremendous experiences of personal deepening and union with the Lord. This is later on in her spiritual life, and yet she was fully present to the community with which she was praying. So she didn't have to go off by herself into quiet to have this sense of profound relationship with Christ. It occurred while she was praying with the community, the prayer of which she was herself leading. Again, a powerful example of a conversion which is also a lifelong, ongoing experience of finding God in what could be the ordinary, was for her at one time an ordinary experience of prayer, but which through the grace and power of God became for her an overwhelming sense of God's invitation towards deeper union. And don't forget, it occurred when she bowed to her sister in choir, when she showed to another the reverence that allows them to be seen as the image of God.